other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Then we come into chapter 21 and verse 15, and we're at the Sea of Tiberias, or the Lake of Galilee. And when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. What a statement that is. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And it's verse 25 that I want us to consider as the introduction to this theme of the revolutionary sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And John concludes his gospel by saying, And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Now, John is the last of the gospel writers. His gospel came later on from the other three gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. How much later, we're not sure exactly. But he adds details that are not recorded by either Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And likewise, he does not mention events which those other three gospel writers did. For instance, he does not mention the birth of Christ. And you have reference to the birth of Christ in Matthew and in Luke's gospel, but there's no mention of the birth of Christ or the circumstances of his birth in John's gospel. So there are things that John does not include. There are details that he adds that are not recorded in the other gospel writers, but what he does include is exceedingly precious, and it was written for a specific purpose. Look at chapter 20 and verse number 31. and he gives us the reason why this gospel was written. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. It was written in order to affirm the deity of the Lord Jesus, which may indicate the circumstances that the church was then facing. A time when there was a questioning, when there was a disputing, when there was a doubting, when there was an attack upon the deity of Jesus Christ. And so John, under divine inspiration, prompted by the Spirit of God, under divine supervision, is led to write this fourth gospel in order to affirm and set forth beyond the shadow of a doubt the deity of the Lord Jesus. And as you go through the gospels, or this gospel of John, you will find the emphasis being placed on the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's why in chapter 1 of the gospel, he makes the introductory remarks. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so you see how he's making this bold introduction, and he's asserting the deity of Christ, the fact that he is from eternity, that he is of the same essence with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. He is addressing in particular this great doctrinal truth of Christ's deity. And then we come to the end of the gospel, and he concludes with this statement in verse 25 of chapter 21. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. I think he adds this statement in order to highlight that what he had written and what he had included was not the sum total. Just in case there were some people who, when receiving the gospel according to John, expected him to fill all the missing parts that weren't in the other gospel, John concludes with this statement: I haven't included everything. Not everything is included. There are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. In effect, he's saying the biography of Christ is incomplete. There's some people, some commentators, some preachers claim that this last verse is merely a hyperbole. It's just an exaggeration. I don't hold that. I think what John is saying here is a statement of fact. And I think that's how we should concern that. He's saying, I haven't included every event, every detail. I haven't included everything. Nor have any of the other gospel writers. For the simple reason that Christ's life, being the Son of God, being God incarnate in flesh, is so full, so varied, that there are many things that have not only not been recorded, but the world itself would not be able to contain the books with everything recorded in them. This is a statement of fact, but it's also a theological inference. And what he is saying here arises out of a theological truth. It's not possible to write the complete biography because Jesus Christ is not dead. He's living. And therefore, he's still working. He still acts. He still moves. He still speaks. And therefore, it's not possible to include everything because he is not dead. He is living. Turn over, or come into Acts chapter 1 there, just immediately after. And look what this time Luke says in verse 1 of chapter 1. He says, "The former treatise have I made." Now, the former treatise is the gospel that Luke wrote. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up." Notice the word "began." And Luke is saying to us, these gospels are only the beginning. They're only the beginning of the record of God incarnate in flesh. "The former treatise have I made of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." And what he is doing now in the Acts of the Apostles is to set out what Jesus Christ was continuing to do. We have the title here, "The Acts of the Apostles." But I think what Spurgeon added is much more true to fact. It is the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles. And what you have here in the chapters of the book of Acts is simply the Lord Jesus continuing his work, continuing by his Spirit through his church. And have you ever noticed how the book of Acts ends? Turn over to chapter 28 of the book of Acts, and here we have Paul coming to the city of Rome, where he's placed under house arrest. And we're told, verse 30 of Acts chapter 28, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." Full stop. And that's it. That's where it ends. And it ends in a way that is abrupt. There's no mention of his trial. There's no mention of what happens to him. There's no mention of his death, his execution. There's no mention of what happens to the other apostles. It just comes to this point and then it stops. And why is that? Because this is just a little snapshot of the continuing ministry of Christ by his Spirit through his apostles, and it never ceases. It never ends. It is being continued right to this very moment, right to this very night. And that's why John penned what he did. He said, "The which, and there are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." You have that little glimpse upon the earthly ministry of Christ. It's not given to us in all of its entirety, in every detail. And John bears witness to that. It's carried on. And the ministry of Christ carries on by his Spirit through his apostles. And you think that's only until the end, or to that point in Paul's life. But think of all the other apostles and all the other servants. The Lord is working through them. He's working through his church collectively. He works through each individual believer. You think about that. You take all that detail, that great multitude, which no man could number. You take all the detail of what the Lord is doing, what he is continuing to do, and you just could not have enough books. The world could not contain the books that should be written, to record everything that the Lord has done, everything the Lord is doing, everything the Lord will do. It's impossible. And so what John says here is not only a statement of fact, it's a theological inference. This infers the resurrection of Christ, the fact that he is living and he continues to work. His ministry is unfinished in that sense. We talk about the finished work of Christ, yes, and that's the atonement that has been finished upon the cross, but there's the unfinished work of Christ. It's ongoing. His work of grace, bringing his church together, saving a great multitude, working in each individual life to conform to his own image and bring to everlasting glory. That is unfinished. It continues. And it is multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And you can go into a library and you'll find a book about John Livingstone. And that's the record of what Christ did in his life through him in Africa. Or you can read of Robert Moffat, or you can read of C.T. Studd or Mary Slessor. And the list goes on and on and on. What are those individual biographies? They are the continuation of the ministry of Christ. And you just start piling them up, book after book after book. Every individual is the record of what the Lord has done in their life. There's a powerful inference, but there's also a practical implication. And it's this, that while not everything is recorded, what has been recorded is sufficient to profit us, to give us knowledge and understanding of the Lord. And we should not pry into the unknown, but rather devote ourselves to what has been revealed. Turn over to Matthew chapter 17, and we'll conclude with this, but we will conclude in order to begin, because this is really the key text of why we should consider the sayings of Christ, what the Lord said that has been recorded in the gospel. Matthew 17 and verse number 5. It's the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Lord is transfigured before the three disciples, Peter, James, and John. Moses and Elijah come, and they're talking with him. Verse 4, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. A voice from heaven. The audible voice of God. They heard the voice of the Father. What an experience that was. And the voice of the Father said to these disciples, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. In other words, listen to him. Listen to him. It is by him. It is through him that we hear the voice of God. That's why these statements, these sayings of Christ are so important. That's why they are so revolutionary, so otherworldly. Because he is the voice of God. He is the word of God. Hear ye him. And we should give time not to speculate about what is not recorded, what's unrecorded, but we should give time to consider what is actually written, what Jesus said, and what he did, because the Father has said, "Hear ye him, listen to him." What a profitable study that will be. We'll use that just as an introduction. But consider what John says. Many other things Jesus did, they're not written, they're not recorded. And if they were, then the world itself couldn't contain all the books that would record what the Lord has done. So vast, so full, so varied, so wonderful. But what is recorded is written for our benefit and for our learning.